Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides and WOSU, where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. If you're running out of ideas and time for holiday gifts, we have a few ideas for you this hour. We're starting with for the art lover. Yao Cheng Design is the perfect place to shop. From watercolor, printed tea towels, water bottles and greeting cards, and more, and it's all local. And if you're too busy to make an extra trip downtown and make an appointment at her studio, her art can be found at Target, among other places. Joining us now is artist and creative Yao Chen, owner of Yao Chen Design. Welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me, Amy. I'm so glad to be here.
So you specialize in watercolor, and specifically watercolor prints. What made you turn to watercolor as your favorite art of choice?
It is such a dynamic medium to start with. It's one of the mediums where it really captivates all of your senses and really pulls you into the moment. So you really have to be right there with it to kind of see all the colors blend on paper from wet to dry. It's, like I said, it's such an immersive medium as well, which is what I love about it. It's very immediate, it's very quick, and it's very, very dynamic.
Tell me about how a watercolor piece turns into a print that you duplicate.
Yeah, so everything is painted by hand by me in my art studio. I think the hand of watercolor is really important to me, especially in this age of AI and ever more digitized art. I think leaning into this like hand-painted craft is very important to me. So once it's painted in my art studio, then I will digitize it through scanning it into at a very high res into the computer. And then it's used in a variety of different, it's applied in a variety of different ways. Sometimes it's for my products that I curate myself, that I sell through my own website or through other marketplace platforms. And then other times I use it for partnerships with licensing or other commissioned art projects with larger brands.
Well, speaking of those larger brands, you have products that you create and offer at your studio and offer online, but also at Target. How did this partnership come up? How did the Target thing happen?
So the Target thing happened when I was part of a art agency here in Columbus. And so part of that art agency, it was a group project, me among other artists. And it was for the Mandalama line. So if you go to Target, they have a craft aisle of their own line of craft and art supplies. So
it'd be like Crayola here, but Mandalama.
Yes, exactly. And it was a really fun project to work on. I was selected to do the watercolor brushes and the watercolor paint palette. And so for those projects, I was asked to use those specific materials to create the art. So if you flip over the packaging of the watercolor brush set and the watercolor palette set, you'll see my art that's created using those brushes and those palette colors.
Tell us about the different things that you have at Target and in other retail, because it's not just the watercolor set, right?
No, it's not just. So that was one project that is evergreen, which means they're always at and available at Target in the Mandalama aisle. And then there's another project in a capacity I work with at Target, which is I design annual planners for the Blue Sky brand. Mm-hmm. And so Blue Sky planners, you'll find them in the stationery aisle alongside other planners and binders and folders. And that turns around every year. So that changes year to year, which is really,
really fun. As a planner should, right?
As a planner should, of course. But it's fun to see different types of art that is being selected and is rotated out, so I can kind of change things around and, propose new art.
What was it like the first time you walked into Target and saw your stuff there?
Oh, man. It was really fun. It was really, really fun. So I founded Yao Cheng Design 13 years ago in 2012. And I kind of made like a a generic, not generic, but like a high level bucket list, if you will. Target was on one of them. I was like, if I can see my art in Target, then I feel like I've done something meaningful with this business, that I've done something to help impact another person's life, which is really important to me about art, actually, because when I paint, and I've been painting since I was like 4 years old, actually. That was my first art class, and I still remember going there, even though it was one of my earliest memories. It really impressed into me at that time because I finally found something that was like such a great way for me to express my ideas and my curiosities, and it was an immediate love. Immediate love at age 4. But anyways, so yeah, sorry, I got carried away. Can you repeat your question?
Oh, it was just no, how did it feel to walk into a Target and know your stuff is there?
Yeah. So then, you know, when I started my business and I was like, if I could be able to bring this love for art that art gives me and bring it to others in one way as Target, being a Target, then I will have done something meaningful with this career and all of the hard work that goes into building it. So it was a wonderful moment. It really was.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about holiday gift ideas, and we're learning more about the art of Yao Chen, owner of Yao Cheng Designs. How did you end up calling Columbus home? Are you from here?
I am not, but I've been here since 2010. So I feel like for 15 years, I'm more or less am here.
So why here? How'd you end up here?
Well, so I studied art, textiles specifically at RISD, Rhode Island School of Design, so far away from here. But after I graduated in 2009, which was not a great time to graduate from college.
Oh, we were in a recession, I think. Yeah,
it wasn't great, but I was very lucky to be able to get a assistant design position here in one of the corporate fashion companies here in town. So I located to Columbus from Rhode Island, and I've stayed. I've rooted here. I love it.
So a job brought you here, but is Columbus going to be home forever, do you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about the commission? Do you do commissioned work as well? Can people like hire you to do a watercolor painting for them?
I do. Yes.
Tell me about that part of your business.
I love it because it's so personal to each person. So in the past, I've had someone come to me and say, I love butterflies. The monarch butterflies are all over my garden. Can you paint something with that? And so the commissioned art is a great opportunity to kind of capture their personal story and a specific memory. And I can kind of bring it to life in my style and bring it back to them. And so people can go to my website under commissions and they can tell me a little bit more about what it is that they're looking for and size and so forth. And then I'll usually provide some sketches and then we'll go from there with painting the actual artwork. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Do you get busier this time of year? Do more people want paintings around the holidays?
It changes every year. I would say holiday is a very busy time for the product side of my business. So part of my business is the product side, where I sell the art that's curated by me, that are paintings of the things that I'm most curious and passionate about at that moment creatively. And so on the product side, yes, it's a very busy time. But on the client side, it kind of wanes at that type of time, this time of year is what I'm trying to say. So it ebbs and flows, and structurally it's really interesting to have both products and a design service business because they complement each other in different ways at different times.
So one of your main offerings, like one of your most popular things, are tea towels.
Yes.
Why tea towels? Where did that come from for you?
Well, textiles, actually. So I studied textiles in college, and I love the tactile aspect of fabric. And specifically, I loved surface patterns because it was an extension of painting, which is my first love, but more in a three-dimensional tactile product. And that's what brought me to Columbus with my first corporate job, was designing surface patterns for the company. And so I've always had it in the back of my mind. And I started the business with art prints, with that being such a very direct translation of my original watercolor paintings. Mm-hmm. And then next, I thought it would be really interesting then to bring it into tea towels because it was still a translation of my paintings. But now people can utilize it in their kitchens and in their homes. And being able to bring art into people's everyday life is very important to me, and a big goal of my business is that I want to show people that art isn't just this beautiful piece of painting that you see hanging in a gallery space or a museum, but in fact, it is very much embedded and very much a powerful and wonderful visual expression of our everyday life. And so I thought with tea towels, that was a different way that I can bring art into someone's kitchen and that and to know that they can use it and show people as display, but also that it's functional.
That was what I was just going to ask about, the display versus the function, because they are so pretty. They're so beautiful.
Thank you.
I would feel horrified if I got spaghetti sauce on it. But you want me to get spaghetti sauce on it. You want me to use it?
I do. I want you to wash it. I want you to use it. And I spent a long time sourcing them. They're produced here in USA, which is also really important to me, and hand-sewn also here in Ohio. So all of that is very important, but they are a linen-cotton blend, which means that the linen brings like a luminosity to the textiles and to the tea towels. And also, they are printed with fiber-reactive dyes, which means that the colors are more vibrant rather than screen printed onto the fabric. They sit more into the fiber itself. And so the colors stay longer because not only do I want it to be functional, I want it to be able to last in your kitchen for years to come. So with all of those things in mind, I really wanted these products to be something that you can use as well as for display.
Now,
you do have to iron them afterwards because of the linen, but are beautiful.
Understood. I was reading about your downtown studio space.
Yes.
You're right in the heart of downtown.
Yes.
And your description of your studio focused on the windows and the light they let in. So tell me about your loft space and the light.
Oh, the light is so important. Well, watercolor. Okay, so let me back up for a second. I love being at the heart of Columbus, downtown Columbus. There's such an energy.
It's Gay Street, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Being at the heart of Columbus has a certain energy that I sometimes can kind of like seep into my work, which is really great. So I love that. And the light is very important to me. I designed the space to be like the inside of my creative brain, really. Mm-hmm. So I surround it with a lot of color, and light really helps brighten the colors and really just so everywhere I look, I feel inspired and I can be in my most creative state of mind when I'm making art.
So most people who buy your stuff buy it off of your website, I'm assuming. Is
yes.
that right? But you open your space sometimes like by appointment. Is that right?
Yes. People can go on my website and schedule an appointment and come. And I love being able to meet people that way in person and kind of show them my studio, my creative process, all of the different artworks at different various stages of completion that's in all around my studio. And then to be able to show them all the different products that I offer. A lot of times the website online is just not as great of a representation as in person. You really feel a much more immersive experience when you step into my art studio and I can kind of show you the story behind what I do, and that everything is hand-painted by me is really important. So the gallery nights that I've started are one way for me to kind of open it more up to people in Columbus so that I can meet them and I can show them, especially kids and students are really important to me, so that I can show them all the different possibilities that you can do with art.
So you occasionally have what you call a gallery night, which is basically like an open house event. Is
that
right?
Okay. It's an open studio. Yeah.
Do you have any coming up that you wanted to talk
about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one, we just had one for the holidays, which was great. Mm-hmm. And the next one is going to be on February 6th. So it's always the first Friday of the month. I'm not able to do it every month because I have other project deadlines and obligations that sometimes impacts those schedules. But when I do have them, it's always the first Friday. And from 3 to 7, so you can kind of shop and then eat around downtown. There's a lot of wonderful restaurants near me. So, yeah, so that's the next one, is on February 6th.
So we talked about your tea towels a lot, and then you mentioned the planners that you have at Target.
Yes.
And you do paintings. People can buy actual paintings and prints.
Yes.
And that. But is there anything else, any other products you wanted to tell us about?
Well, for the art prints and paintings, a lot of times I'll work with customers on commissioned paint art prints. So because I print in-house, I'm able to do custom sizes all the way up to 44 by 60, which is fantastic because it's so large and it's super immersive and you feel like you can fall into the world of watercolor that way. So I think that's something that people don't necessarily always know, that I offer that service to be able to really customize it for the space that a customer might have in mind. And then I also have gift wrap, which is something that I only offer in my studio in person. So if you make an appointment online and you come in to the studio, you can also see all the different gift wrap that I offer. And then, yeah, the prints are always on rotation, which is really, really exciting. I think for me, the art prints are like the most direct extension of my original paintings and my creative ideas. So I have a whole new batch of art prints that's going to come out in January or February because I'm working on different projects as well at the same time. But the rotating art prints are a really great way for me to show people and share the art as it evolves and changes, because my style is changing and evolving as I work on different projects in tandem.
We have been talking with artist Yao Cheng, owner of Yao Cheng Design. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And coming up, we are going to address our sweet tooth by talking to the bearded baker. That is when Fascinating Ohio from All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides and WOSU, where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. When it comes to food for the holidays, baked goods are often at the forefront of people's minds. And if you're a fan of cheesecake and are considering getting some for a holiday celebration, we've got the place for you. A few months back, the Bearded Baker took up residence in Bexley. Since then, countless customers have flocked to their doors for cheesecakes in a variety of flavors and are showing no signs of stopping. Joining us now are the Bearded Baker's co-owners, Matt Estep and Kylie Redman. Welcome to All Sides, Matt and Kylie.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. So, Matt, let's start with you first. What got you interested in baking?
Well, I've been in the restaurant business for little over 20 years now, usually on the more savory side in restaurants, not so much baking. And I did that and kept it that way for, like I said, almost 20 years. But COVID shut down the catering company I was working for, had a little extra time. And you know, I was always interested in sweets. I have an amazing sweet tooth, so it's always where I lean to. And so I started experimenting a little bit with just some recipes that I had done in restaurants in the past, but just sparingly, you know, when I had to. But it caught on very quick, and the rest is kind of history.
And Kylie, of all desserts, I think cheesecake is not the easiest thing to make. Do you have it down to a science now?
So he still mainly does most of the cheesecake, and I stick to our cookies and brownies. But I feel like just in watching him over the past 3 years, that I believe I could get relatively close to what he does just from spending every second with him day in and day out.
Yeah, she definitely could.
So Matt, if cheesecakes are not the easiest thing to make, did you ever think, why did I pick cheesecake?
So that's kind of funny. Somebody asked me that a couple of years ago, and I didn't really, you know why I leaned into it, but I always thought that it's, as you know, being a chef, it was always kind of fun to find an ingredient that you didn't really love and, you know, make something out of it that you just wanted always. So for me, that was cream cheese. I didn't love cream cheese. That's probably the thing I stayed away from the most. But, you know, once you mix some other delicious ingredients in there, it turns into something that you would have never believed when you started.
Kylie, what are your different roles in the business? You mentioned that you focus on the other types of baked goods and Matt handles the cheesecake, but do you both run the shop together?
Yes, we are here from hours before open to hours afterwards. I would say he handles more of like the ordering side of things when it comes to all of our ingredients, and I would say more administrative for myself. A lot of like reaching out to customers, our wholesale accounts, deliveries, you name it. It's a good mix of everything between the two of us.
Absolutely.
And you opened your new brick and mortar location, which is in Bexley, only a few months ago. How's it going to have a shop like that?
It's been great. Honestly, we tried to stay towards the east side, being so close to the market. We didn't want to lose all of those customers who got us to where we are now. And when we announced our location, a lot of them actually said it was closer for them because they were coming from Whitehall or Reynoldsburg actually to the East Market to go downtown. So it's been great. We've seen our regulars from the market. The Bexley community has been super welcoming to us.
Amazing.
So we've gotten all of our regulars that we had and developed new regulars.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things for me being here is, so when it started off, it was just cheesecakes. That's all that happened. And then, you know, with bringing Kylie on and her expertise, now we have all kinds of things that has kind of just turned this into a bakery instead of just a cheesecakery, which is my favorite new part because I get to try all of her new creations that, you know, I don't have a specialty in, but she's just amazing at. So for me, it's just trying all the new things I get to get from her every day.
I like the word cheesecakery, though. That's a nice word. So how many different types of cheesecake do you make?
I think our social media guy added one yesterday, so I think we're up to 102 now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So your website says you can make any flavor of cheesecake imaginable. So what is the weirdest one you've made?
Weirdest one so far. We did do a spumoni one last
Christmas.
Last holiday season, which, you know, is just a combination of a little cherry, pistachio, and
vanilla.
So that was a different one. But the thing is, we try to tell people we can do any cheesecake you can imagine, but sometimes it does take a couple weeks to perfect those flavors. So it's not immediate, but we like to you know, experiment around here. So if you've got something on your mind, just let us know.
Do you have a favorite flavor of cheesecake?
Oh, I am a sucker for the original. I can't stay away from that. But right now, just with holiday season and everything, I've kind of leaned towards the red velvet.
Kylie, do you have a favorite type of cheesecake?
I can't beat the original, but if I'm branching out, I would have to say peanut butter and jelly is my favorite.
Okay. Mm.
All right. This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking with the co-owners of The Bearded Baker, Matt Estep and Kylie Redman. Matt, tell me about the decision to call your business The Bearded Baker, because I guess this means you have to always keep your beard.
And I was very fond of it at the time. It was probably 5 years ago. I had grown into it, and it seemed like it was going to be a permanent thing, but I didn't think about it like that at the time. But yes, you are correct. This thing is staying on as long as it will.
Where did the name come from? Did someone call you that? Was that your nickname when you started making the cheesecakes, or were you that name before?
I was just, honestly, I was just sitting around throwing around the idea of starting the company. And I just was tossing out some names, and it just sounded catchy. And I think I told my sister first, and she started laughing, and she said she loved it. So it was kind of set after that.
Mm. And Kylie, tell me about some of the new menu items. So since you expanded, have the shop, you have more room, you can make more things. What have you added to the menu?
We had just started doing brownies towards the end of being at the East Market, but being able to branch out and actually have buttercreams for cookies, way more cookie variety than we had at the market. There we only had our chocolate chip, turtle, and peanut butter, but we've done espresso chips, s'mores cookies, some sugar cookies, and we have even done biscuits and gravy while we've been here. And really just all together, being able to have a little bit more creativity with any of those desserts. And we've also been able to do creme brulees here on a much regular basis.
Do your customers still come to you mainly for cheesecake, or are they branching out and buying everything?
They're branching out and buying everything. And I know when we started doing brownies at the market, we got a lot of really good feedback from those customers who were like, oh, my wife loves cheesecake, but it's just not my thing. I'm going to get a brownie.
Mm. And Matt, with the cheesecakes, how do you adapt to other customers' dietary requirements? Can you make a vegan cheesecake?
So that's a big thing. And we can, as long as we can find the time to do it, because anything we do, we want to do right. So if, you know, there's not a time crunch, they give us enough notice, we can pretty much do anything under their restrictions. Vegan's a little bit tougher finding the right base for it, but, you know, we could make things happen if they kind of guide us on what they like. But yeah, absolutely. We try to be flexible on making people happy.
Do you have gluten-free options too?
That's kind of why we brought the creme brulee on. So we can do gluten-free cheesecakes. The base is generally gluten-free depending on what's in it. Now, it's tough to say it's gluten-free because we have gluten everywhere in the building, but it's definitely gluten friendly. It's you know, we take care to make sure that it's not going near anything else. So we can do it. The creme brulee is the only specific gluten-free item that we have right now, but we can make our product gluten-free.
Do you ever have customers come into the store and they're looking at all the varieties of cheesecakes and they just can't figure out what to buy? How do you advise your customers?
We used to just do large cheesecakes, and then we branched out into like a mini version so people could get, maybe if they're like me, they walk in and they want to try every flavor. It makes it a little bit more financially possible.
And so you take orders. So you have the brick and mortar store where people can come in, but then you take orders on your website and you use DoorDash too. How is that part of your business?
So the DoorDash, we kind of picked up recently for the customers that we find couldn't get to us from where we were, because we only went about 2.5 miles from our previous location. We didn't want to go too far because it was just, we had amazing support there. So we did find that a few people still can't make it here, so we wanted to make sure that they still had an option.
Mm. And do you get a lot of orders, or do people just buy, you know, one at a time? Do you get do people place orders for cheesecakes?
We are getting a pretty big push on that. Yeah. So especially with it being cold, a lot of people want to stay in. I can appreciate that. But so that's picking up a lot lately. Mm-hmm. But for holiday orders, it's the phone's ringing off the hook right now. It's been amazing, the support we're receiving. We can't say enough about the community around here, honestly.
What's your holiday cheesecake right now? Do you have a signature one?
So the couple that I just took out of the oven are like a white chocolate peppermint bark. We do a lot of Ferrero Rocher around this time of year. And like I said, the red velvet is, we've got a lot of those going. And then just the basic original that people want to have on their Christmas table.
Yeah. And Kylie, you both have mentioned the East Market several times. Do you miss your stall there?
We honestly, it was just so nice because there was that constant flow of new people. As much as we had our regulars with events that were happening in the area, there was always a new person every single day. Someone's like, oh, I was just coming to the East Market to try this place or that place. And it was really cool to feel like a sense of community of other small business owners who were going through all the same struggles that we were, where most of them didn't have their own brick and mortar. That was kind of like where they were trying to start, put their name out there. So we miss all of those faces, but we had just outgrown that space so quickly.
And I think, Kylie, you said you do a lot of like the ordering and that kind of thing. Is it how, you know, we talk about tariffs a lot. How has that impacted your business? Or is cheesecake material more expensive?
There have been ups and downs. Egg-wise, we really haven't been affected because we use two local farmers. So they have been able to keep all of their prices the same through all of this. I know each year it seems like there's something different, more expensive. What was it, like 3 years ago, cream cheese and graham crackers were just through the roof. But we've been able to kind of go around those things and cut back where we need to offset pricing.
And Matt, I know opening this brick and mortar store was a big deal and you just opened a few months ago, but do you have like a 5 to 10 year plan? Do you want to expand more or are you pretty content at the moment?
At the moment, content, but the reason we got so much space is we do have a big plan moving forward. You know, we'd love to have some tables and chairs in here, have some coffee, and not all the way towards a cafe style, but I do miss some of the foods we used to cook in the restaurants. And you know, we might bring some of those brunch items back when we have a little bit more time on our hands. And like I said, those tables in there will make a big deal, but yeah. So we signed a 5-year and looking forward to that and, you know, hopefully longer than that. So, yeah, we see a future here and we're really excited about it.
We have been talking about cheesecakes and more with the Bearded Bakers co-owners, Matt Estep and Kylie Redmond. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
And coming up, we're going to continue to entice our sweet tooth by talking to the CEO of Winans Coffee and Chocolate. That is when Fascinating Ohio from All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides and WOSU, where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. Some holiday gifts are meant to be a simple gesture, a token of appreciation for a neighbor or friend, and a classic gift that everyone enjoys, young or old, family or neighbor, is chocolate. Winans Coffee and Chocolate offers a wide selection of holiday chocolate sets, and it's local. And for the coffee enthusiast in your life, you can also gift a bag of their coffee beans. With the company's beginnings in Piqua, they now have cafes all over the state. Joining us now is the CEO, Wilson Reiser. Welcome to All Sides, Wilson.
Thanks so much for having me, Amy.
So the holidays must be a really busy time for you. I can't think of more demand for chocolate than right about now. How have things been going this holiday season?
Yeah, it's a good holiday season so far. It's been a little snowy. We kind of measure the season from Black Friday through Christmas, and we've had two snow events so far. So retailers and people that depend on the holiday season are geared up for this last push, but the weather report is good for us candymen, and we're looking forward to a great week ahead.
So tell me about some of your holiday offerings this year. Do you have any new flavors or new merchandise that you have?
Yeah, we have new coffees. We have an award-winning coffee, a pink Bourbon coffee that we won an award back in October with, which is a really special Christmas morning treat. We have gift sets, so from price points of $20 up to $80+, and beautiful boxes that make a really nice gift. And then we've really focused on having that kind of $15 price point covered this year with a lot of different options, because we're seeing that that's what people are really looking for, is that smaller treat this year.
What goes into planning for the holidays when you are making chocolate or making something special? I'm guessing you have to plan months in advance. This is not like a November decision.
Yes. So our team will be going to a market in January. We just booked our flights, and so we will then be purchasing for Christmas of 26. So we start about 2 weeks after Christmas getting ready.
11 months of planning.
11 months of planning. If not, you know, there's some things we're doing right now that feel like planning, with understanding when we're running out of things and just getting retros together for the next year. But there was a period of time when my grandfather was running the business and when my parents started that like 75% of the revenue for the whole year came in the month of December.
Wow.
And with coffee as part of our business and some other things, it's not quite that drastic anymore, but it is a very significant percent of the earnings of the company come in December. And so it's all hands on deck 24/7 for quite a while. And then we enjoy early January.
So Winans has been around for generations. You are the fifth generation leader. Can you tell us, take us back to how it all began? You mentioned your grandfather, but take us back in time.
My great-great-grandfather was a baker, and this is all in the Western Ohio, Southern Michigan area, and made some confections. And then my great-grandfather, Rip Winans, married into the family and worked for Charles Walton, and then purchased the business. And the business made candy and baked goods and moved around quite a bit. And I've never really learned why that was, but bakers moved around a lot in the early 1900s.
That seems hard to do, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some historic assets, some signs and pictures and so on that show the offerings of candy and bakery goods and, you know, selling candy for 5 cents and those types of things. My grandfather in 1961 decided he did not want to be in the bakery business anymore. Early mornings, inventory without a shelf life, and he wanted to build a business that could grow a little bit more than just a small town bakery. And so he opened Winans Carriage House Candies in downtown Piqua, and that's where we really mark the beginning of the business as it is today. So he ran that company for 32 years, and then my parents bought it in 1993 and added coffee and moved next door, and that's where I grew up with my sister.
Wow. Okay. So things have changed over the years. You just went through some of those changes, but adding the coffee shop part, I mean, that's a big change. So are you a chocolate shop with coffee or a coffee shop with chocolate?
You know, I think that the best answer to that, which I have thought about maybe every day for the last 6 years, is that it depends on the time of the year. Mm-hmm. So right now we're a chocolate shop. Mm-hmm. That's what we're focused on, having beautiful displays, having product out, making sure that people get serviced and get the gifts that they need and the special treats. But in August, you know, we're a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of iced coffee. We have some exciting, an exciting iced coffee relationship with a little company in Columbus called Brutleg that is doing cool extracts and can really bring a lot of interesting flavor characteristics out of specialty coffee with their stuff. So in the summer, we're focusing on that. We're investing time in that. Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, Mother's Day, we're a chocolate shop, and our chocolate heart comes out. So we've called ourselves a coffee shop with a chocolate heart.
That's cute. So what do you feel like adding the coffee shop part? Has that been good for business? I mean, how's the bottom line?
Yeah, adding the coffee shop is what is it's the reason that Winans looks like it does today. Mm-hmm. So my dad loved coffee, and my dad is a very classic entrepreneur that is passionate about his ideas and brings them to life. And so he brought coffee to Piqua, Ohio in 1993, which having an espresso machine in Piqua, Ohio in 1993 was not a normal thing.
We were the only espresso machine.
Yeah. And his story was that he had to drive to Dayton three times a day to get a specialty coffee. So he added it to the business that they had just purchased. And coffee is what has enabled us to grow in locations. Mm. So because the chocolate business is so seasonal, is so dependent on the holidays, most chocolate businesses do not have a lot of locations. Mm. They have a few locations and then they sell through other outlets. We have 21 locations and we only sell really through those locations at this time. We're not in grocery. We're not in specialty foods like you may see some other chocolate brands. So coffee is the reason for that because it's a more sustainable annual business. It's more regular on a week-to-week basis and throughout the seasons.
You get more feet in the door
right
regularly for coffee than getting chocolate at, you know, once or twice a year. Yeah.
Right. So, I feel like it's a great model. Other times I feel like our focus is a little split. And mm-hmm. so it can be a challenge with one leadership team and one group of people that are pushing everything forward to be focused and being really excellent at both.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about Winans Coffee and Chocolates with CEO Wilson Reiser. You were recently named a rising star by the Ohio Restaurant and Hospitality Alliance. So an award recognizing emerging leaders in Ohio's hospitality industry. What did this Rising Star Award recognition mean to you personally?
It was a nice, it's nice to be seen. So running a business, running a smaller business in a smaller town, there's not a lot of peers around. There's, you know, I don't walk into a bar and hang out with five other people doing what I'm doing ever.
You don't have a network of chocolatiers.
No, us candymen, the candy folks do get together, but it's a couple times a year. So it was nice to be recognized. There's some incredible brands that I love and have enjoyed in my life. Schmidt's, Jeff Ruby's, just some of these restaurant brands that are so ubiquitous with Ohio, with different cities. And it's fun to be in that room and to feel like Winans is part of that cultural fabric of our state.
You grew up next door to the original Winans business and worked nearly every role before you were 18. So how did those experiences shape you into the leader you are?
Whenever I'm doing something strategic or from a marketing standpoint, I always have the operational realities at the top of mind. And sometimes that may not be the best thing because it stifles creativity and change. But I have a very good idea of how my decisions are going to impact the front line. And so I think that helps me make decisions that I know can be executed well, because at the end of the day, running a business like ours, retail, food service, it all comes down to execution. You can have the best plan in the world and the most beautiful resources and even the best product. And if you don't execute well, then your customers are not going to have that experience that makes them joyful and makes them want to come back.
But if you did every role, so that means that you were sweeping up, you were working the cash register, you were making things. Is that right?
Well, for the record, I still sweep up. That's one of our inside jokes, is that pretty much anywhere I go after 5 or 10 minutes, there will be a broom in my hand. And I was sweeping in downtown Troy this morning. It's one of my, I don't know, anxiety responses or something. But I've was able to experience that at a young age and then go out into the workforce for a little while and get some outside experience that I could bring in as well.
You practiced law before you became in charge of
this? I did, yeah. For a brief stint, I was a baby attorney at Voorhees here in Columbus and learned a lot, was able to meet a ton of good people and be able to see the inside of how larger organizations operate.
You came back to Winans, though, right around COVID times, so that had to be a little bit challenging timing-wise.
Yeah, and it was really the impetus behind me coming back was that the policy was moving so quickly, and we needed to navigate and make big decisions on almost a daily basis. So I came back and helped my parents navigate through COVID.
There you put your lawyer hat on about masking and distancing. Yeah,
the lawyer hat was on more than I would like, and thankfully it's gathering dust in the closet now. Mm-hmm. But we navigated through that, and then my parents were ready to move on to the next phase of their life, and my wife and I came in, and we've been working together and running the business. Lindsay, my wife, has been full time for 2 years now, and it's been great to work together. She brings so many different skills to the table that I have, completely lack in. But
we hear a lot about tariffs right around now. Are your ingredients costing more?
So coffee tariffs went away, I think it was about a month ago now.
Okay. That helps.
But before that, we did have several months of tariffs. The most challenging was the 50% tariff on Brazilian coffee, and also the fact that there is no domestic substitute for coffee. It's we don't grow it. We grow a little bit in Hawaii, but not enough to even be a percentage of what we consume. So we were paying a lot more for coffee than we would have been, but the market was at an all-time high in 2024 and had come down a little bit. So the reason that consumers didn't see retail prices rise is because even with the tariffs, the commodities prices that we're paying were a little bit less than the year before. And that might not be something that a lot of coffee business owners talk about, but it's the truth. So we kept our prices the same.
You were able to keep your prices the same and ride it out. And did cocoa prices increase on you?
Cocoa prices were incredibly high about 2 years ago. There was a drought in Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana, where 70% of the world's cocoa is grown. And so again, those were at this, just like they tripled within the span of a couple months because of these droughts and this lack of supply. And the chocolate supply chain is quite a bit more complicated than the coffee supply chain. So the cocoa beans are going to refiners, which are in the US, but Canada and Europe as well. And it's all being bought many years ahead. So we did not feel as much on the chocolate side as the coffee, where the coffee is put in a shipping container in Guatemala and then is unloaded in Piqua, Ohio. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Your website says that you have a legacy of chocolate, coffee, and joy. So tell me about the joy.
The joy. Well, we always say that we're in the candy business. And so if you don't have a little bit of fun in the candy business, then you're doing it wrong.
Where are you going to have fun if it's not making candy?
Go do something else.
Yeah.
So we try to have a little bit of fun. We try to celebrate wins and the ends of seasons. One thing we do that is a tradition, or tradition I've made, is that at about 11 a.m. on Christmas Eve, we kind of throw in the towel and we open up a bottle of champagne usually and get started for the holiday season.
So you mentioned that, did you say Winans has 21 locations?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have plans for more growth, or are you going to stay put at 21?
We have plans for more growth. We've been in a team building phase for the past couple of years. For various reasons, but primarily that we lost our COO to an untimely passing. She had been with the company for 25 years and was really the heart of the business. And so for the last 2 years, we've been rebuilding a team, and we have a great team in place now. And it goes back to the Jim Collins good to great, first who and then what. And so we've put together the who with a great team, with Jill Larger in operations and Rochelle in marketing and Connie in finance and Lindsay and I. And this next quarter is really going to be figuring out what the next phase of Winans growth looks like. But we are a brick and mortar business. That's what we do. And so there will be more locations.
Are all 21 in Ohio?
They are. Yeah. We're all in the Dayton and Columbus area. There was a time where we were franchising outside of Ohio when I was in the early mid 2000s. But all of those locations have consolidated. We're in Ohio.
Okay, so 21 in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So do you think maybe outside of Ohio again could be in the future?
You know, there's still a lot of Ohio left for us. There's still a lot of Columbus. We don't really have a presence in Cincinnati or Cleveland or other cities. So we really are all clustered around Dayton and Columbus.
Okay.
And
so, so lots of Ohio left. I got it. Well, we have been talking about chocolate and coffee with Winans Coffee and Chocolate CEO Wilson Reiser. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
This has been Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. If you missed any part of today's show, listen back at our website, wosu.org/allsides, or subscribe to our podcast. I want to say thank you to the All Sides team. Marcus Charleston and Aaron Esmont Rabinowitz are our producers. Our student producers are Iza Huck, Colin Simpson, Kiara Burson, and Henry Allen. Video production by the Ohio Channel. Board operation by Chris Johnston and Cameron Howard. This has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.